The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
I've gone out with a lot of women who did not have positive male figures in their life.
Oh, that's all I've ever gone out with.
Oh, yeah.
I don't, you know, it's not a prerequisite, but somehow that's all I've ever.
Yeah.
In fact, that, that's me. what you're on that website.
Yeah.
No positive male role models. Yeah.
That's the dating website you use?
Yeah. It's
no,
very
no
long, but it's
role
good.
Models. No positive role models.
Yo, what's up, Square Pimp Brigade? On this episode, we have my boy Chuck Nice on here, and we talk about trauma in relationship, women's trauma in relationship, how it affects you, the one thing that guys get wrong, and whether or not you should teach your son about women early on or let him focus on school. This was a dope one.
Yeah, that's right. Chuck Nice is super hilarious, and if you love the relationship advice that we're talking about on this show, you're going to want to come over to patreon.com/manschool202. That's where we do all the bonus content, like the bonus show we do this week with Chuck Nice, where we talk about not getting taken advantage of, when to stop being nice, and we also talk about another story where Dante had to beat somebody up. So all of that is on patreon.com/manschool202, and also all the old archive episodes of the show. So if you love the show, check us out there.
I'm not an alpha male. I'm not a beta male either. I'm just a better man.
GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The sexual revolutions being podcasted, and I am excited. This is a special show. I know I've said that 600 times before, but this time I really mean it. First and foremost, Harry, what's up? What's rocking? You ready to rock and roll?
Oh, man, Dante, if I was doing any better, I'd be Travis Kelce at a Taylor Swift concert. I'm doing great. I can't be doing any better.
Let me introduce our guest, fan of the show, funniest dude I know, one of my good, good friends that I don't spend nearly as much time with. Give it up for my boy, Chuck Nice.
What's up, guys?
What's going on, Chuck? How are you?
Every time I hear you say, get your balls back.
it is a reminder. It needs to be said. It needs to be said.
It's a call to action.
Back.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, look, I don't know. I mean, there's been times, I suppose there's been times in my life where I've had to get my balls back. I'm not even going to try to front. Like I ain't never been in a position where I've been without my balls. Matter of fact, I got a spare set of balls. Y'all got one sack. I got two.
Just in case. Dodge balls, soccer balls, basketball, baseballs, golf balls. You name it, I got balls.
I'm trying to load these balls, man. I got too many. If you know anybody who needs some.
What's crazy is that one of the things that we say on the show all the time is we haven't said this in a while, but everybody gets got. And often, no matter, I don't care how dope you are, I don't care how on point you are, there's always those two things that you will always have to do is give apologies and make apologies. Make apologies and ask for apologies is what I should have said.
You know, it's funny because...
Unless, of course, you've never done anything wrong.
Yeah.
No need to apologize because, quite frankly, I'm not wrong. I'm not wrong.
I've got my balls. I've always had my balls. I got
always
balls.
Had my balls.
Great balls.
Great
wonderful balls.
Balls on fire. Always.
Orange balls.
A lot of balls.
I have Cheetos in my pants.
Mustard balls.
It's a thing every once in a while we see in the comments, the better you do, the more haters you get. And every once in a while, because Dante's very open about what's gone on with, him and his wife in the last couple of years. And the first thing he does is talk about it on the show. He doesn't pretend, hey, everything is perfect. And there's always a thing of like, if Dante's doing so great, how come he and his wife have separated? And it's like, because you know about relationships doesn't mean it's perfect. Doesn't mean flawless.
And it doesn't mean that it's going to
always work.
It doesn't mean that you can dictate how things are going to go just because you know how things should be. Think about it that way. In everyone's life, there's something that you know, this is the way things should go. And then it doesn't go like that.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all there is to it. Like you, everybody said, there's days at work you have like that. There are times you go out just to have a good time and it doesn't work out like that, you know? And then there are relationships and it doesn't work out like that. There are relationships within your own family. And guess what? If you get married, the thing you know very quickly, you will learn very quickly is that you married and made that person your family. And then on top of that, her family is now your family. Oh,
right.
Oh, it's terrible. But guess what? That is something that you find out. Everybody can tell you that, but you find that out in no uncertain terms through experience, you know? So yeah, I mean, it's cool that you do that, that you take your, even though you're giving advice on relationships, if something's not working out, you know, you're man enough to say, look, here's what's going on in my life. I admire that. I don't know how anybody hates on that. I admire it.
Yeah. You know, and also to what you were saying, Chuck, you know, you can only control a certain aspect. When you're in a relationship, that is another person's life.
Right.
And while you're there to enhance it and you're there to be together as a unit, you cannot control every aspect of another person, whether it's trauma or how they handle adversity or their level of happiness or their mental state. And you can work to do that, but ultimately that person has to do the work just like you have to do the work on yourself. So sometimes it's not necessarily the transmitter. Sometimes it's the receiver. So there's a lot of variables.
Yeah. No. So true. You know, listen.
I think you can only. Yeah, what we try to do is we try to be diligent about what the variables are and what they're not. And I think there's also variables that you're not privy to. I think a lot of times there's, when you're in a relationship with a young lady, a lot of time there's variables that she's not privy to that are working on, and you know, trauma and stuff that's going on underneath, insecurities on underneath, things that happen, things that happen as in childhood where they're bringing that into the relationship and they're not even aware that they're bringing that into the relationship.
Yeah, I mean, and sometimes they are aware, but they're not aware of the dynamic that it's creating in a relationship. Sure. When you have, I've gone out with a lot of women who clearly did not have positive male figures in their life.
Oh, that's all I've ever gone out with.
Oh, yeah.
I don't, you know, it's not a prerequisite, but somehow that's all I've ever.
Yeah.
In fact, that's what you're on that website.
Yeah.
No positive male role models. Yeah.
That's the dating website you use?
Yeah. It's
no
long,
positive
but
role
it's good.
Models. No positive role models. the meet and greet. But you know, very quickly, you know, you realize people, there's a difference between people who have a terrible relationship with their father and people who have no relationship with their father. Okay.
Yeah.
So the people who have no relationship with their father, what they tend to do is create a father image. Okay. They create a father image and then they look for that father image that they've created.
They have such a, I mean, it's a funny thing because my relationship with my dad wasn't great. He was a great model, but he was a guy who was, in a lot of cases, whereas he gave me the foundation, but in a lot of time he was vacant. And when he was present, my dad was like a Jewish mama, I preface it like this. He born in 1920, 8 boys and 8 girls, 16 kids, grown up in pre-gym, you know, in the heart of Jim Crow. Right. And so what you're asking somebody to do is have this kind of emotional acuity that they just haven't had the ability to develop it or the time
the
or the
opportunity
just based
yeah.
on the trauma. And what the way it affected me. So people don't know this about me because I was always such a my present how I present now is years of work. Whereas I was really, I was a scary, scary kid. Like, I was scared of everything. Scared of girls, scared to fight, scared to ask the girl to dance. Scared of, I mean, I was just, because it was this, don't go there, you, this will happen, don't go there. And then also being Black in America is a thing where your parents start to instill this, especially my pops, because my pops grew up in the heart of you know, segregation and stuff like that. And so it was always, watch out for this, and don't, this is how you talk to the, and so I grew up with this fear, and then I spent the majority of my my childhood and my adolescent trying to overcome fear, per se, just trying to figure out how I can navigate that fear. And so, but I had a model, you know, I had a masculine model that I could honestly look to and say, okay, this is who, what a guy is. But I had a, like, I my sister just passed away, not that long, maybe about a month and a half ago. Oh, and God. I have, and she was an awful,
It's been about 4 months, Dante, five.
Is that
months.
What it is?
Yeah, it's been about 5 months.
Who's counting?
Time
just to let
slowly.
You know how
time moves slowly when you're mourning. And don't worry.
Well, I'm not. That's
that's
really
the problem,
not it,
Chuck. Yeah,
we didn't get along at all.
Okay.
Yeah, I tell this story all the time. My younger sister called me up to tell me that my middle sister passed away, and I was like, "Yo, my condolences. Yo, you need anything?" Like,
damn. But guess what? Yeah. That is part of what happens in relationships, you know,
without
what I mean? It's like, just because you, listen, I told a family member this, and when, you know, just because we are family, and listen, I come from a very tight family, like very tightly lit, and my mother, I had one of those mothers that was just like, everything is family. There's nothing more important than family, 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 family. But what I have realized is that family relationships are just those relationships that that it's easy to make the decisions because you are forced to be in this person's,
because of the agency,
in this person's orbit.
Yeah.
So because you are forced to be in this person's orbit, it's easier to make those decisions. But, you know, just because you are in that person's, you know, that arena doesn't mean that you have to play in that game. That's sure. All there is to it. There's nothing to say. And sometimes it's the healthiest thing that you can do.
Yeah.
No matter what the relationship or no matter who it is, some of the healthiest decisions you can ever make is to say, you know what? For whatever reason, our gears don't sink. Our gears do not sink. And the best thing we can do is kind of be apart from one another.
That's the
best thing that we can. And guess what? You know, I have a couple relationships like that. And I have no regrets. I feel great about it.
And this sounds like this is more recent than not. Yes.
Yes. And I feel great about it. I'm like, good, you know, and listen, and here's why I feel good about it, because I'm not coming at it from the standpoint of, man, F you. You know what? Go to hell. Hope you die. Wish you the best. Hope you get the pox. A pox on you. You know what I mean? But not on your family. Not on your family.
Well, it's interesting because it's like anytime we talk, right? There is, I feel like we are so in sync, but that you've always had the agency of there's a certain way that you feel that you should respond. And it really kind of warms me up a little bit to see you, like, I would say you, it's nice to see you embracing the lizard, you know, like, because I've always said this is that.
Or the dark
side. Are you going to say something?
No, I said embracing the dark side a little more.
Like, we all got this lizard person inside, and I think it's just part of human nature. And the thing is, what gives me solace is the fact that I've embraced the lizard. Like, I wish people dead sometimes. Mm. I know that's not that's maybe not societally acceptable, but
I don't think Nietzsche preached that one. But
it's not within within the context of where I'm emotionally tied up to it. I'm just, this person has no real value
benefit to society
in their bones and flesh. Yeah. There's just really no value. Todd Lynn comes to mind.
Oh boy.
A guy who I often celebrate his death.
Damn!
In fact, every year.
Quite
every
literally.
Year I celebrate his death.
Quite Damn! Literally.
That, see, see, that's funny.
I understand this is uncomfortable for you. I can see the discomfort. Here's what a great guy you are. I'm saying it, and you're uncomfortable with me.
Uncomfortable with you talking about a dead man, and he's dead. You know what? I mean, listen, it doesn't make a difference to. And by the way, I understand how you feel, and I think that you have every right.
And I concur.
And I think that you have every
right.
I
think that you have every right to feel that way. And I'm not talking about Todd specifically. We both knew Todd, and Todd was not very well liked.
You're not talking about Todd either. But go ahead.
Welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high-profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts.
Just to show you, I just want to read
here's
this.
Here's what's funny, and I don't know why guys were like this and or why this happens to me particularly, but I think it's because, you know, there are people who are assholes, okay? And, you know, when I see them, I don't know why, but I have compassion for them being an asshole. But I don't necessarily want to be around them, get to know them, and be friends. But there's something in me that feels sorry for them.
You feel bad about what happened that led them to this place because nobody chooses that life.
I'm like, why? Like, you're such a terrible person, and it's just, you're so negative, and I feel bad for them. And I think they picked that up in me because it's not pity. I'm not feeling like pity. I genuinely feel compassion, but I'm also disinterested. I'm a disinterested, unbiased party, you know, where, you know, I have several people in our world who are at odds with one another, but I'm cool with them all. You know what I mean? And it's simply because, and I think there are very few people that I want to get like close to. And so maybe that's what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, you and I got close because we would just talk and then we would have like very honest, honest conversations.
Right.
And it made me feel like, oh, I could trust this guy. I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? I don't feel that way about a lot of people. I don't feel like I could trust this guy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this dude is straight. And as a result, I think what I present to people is kind of, you know, this part of me that what you call the guy who doesn't like the lizard, the guy who
right,
and listen, you've said this before, and I agree. I'm scared of that part of me. I don't like that part of me, to be honest. I'm a little leery of that part of me. You know, I feel like that part of me can do damage.
That's the point of the lizard. I mean, the point is that. That's what he's supposed to do.
You're like, there's a reason why motherfuckers walk around with a Rottweiler, Chuck.
It's
not because they want people to walk up and pet it.
I think when you look at it as it being a necessary aspect to human social interaction and engagement, there's a reason why there is. We've adapted in this way that at some point in time, sometimes you got to pick a rock up and smash somebody's head in. In my case, an ice pick always worked nice. Ice pick.
You mean figuratively? So, you're speaking figuratively and emotionally?
No, I'm talking about an ice pick.
Disregard. Question withdrawn. Sorry.
Let me tell you something. Ice picks are serious tools, okay? Yeah. They, they,
you,
I don't,
You were telling me
they are serious tools. I don't know.
They'll go through an A-ball jacket.
Yeah, there are not too many people who actually have held an ice pick before. There aren't very many people, believe it or not, because they're made to break up blocks of ice. That's what.
But, which I mean, they stopped. We stopped doing in the late 40s. But somehow,
exactly.
Somehow, Dante still was carrying an ice pick in 1987. But that's neither here nor there.
Like, yeah. Okay. So anyway, but yeah, you could do a lot of damage with an ice pick. I mean, seriously.
The thing is, Chuck is one of the nicest guys, right? He's always been nice to me, no matter what level. When I first started out, he's nice. I've never heard a bad story about Chuck.
Yeah.
And the thing that, and I empathize with that because I feel like I'm a nice guy. And the thing is. The problem is that we don't unleash the lizard and people take advantage. And it's learning to unleash that thing so that people don't take advantage. And when you're a nice guy, what you learn, what I'm starting to learn, because I'm doing it more and more often, is that when I unleash that, that person has earned it and they deserve it. And sometimes you have to do that because otherwise people take advantage and they become disrespectful. They become mean.
Well, and that's true. I mean, for me, it's about setting boundaries with people. I mean, I know we haven't even gotten into the show. We just off and running into this topic, but
I think it's relevant. And I'll tell you why it's relevant, because no woman finds you attractive unless you got that lizard in you.
Okay,
you gotta have that.
And listen, I'm not gonna. I have a 17-year-old son. He's gorgeous. He's super smart. I'm glad he's not doing well with women, because you know he's so smart, and he's like every school in the country is sending stuff to our house and trying to get to this kid. And I'm very proud of him. And I know that women are a distraction. So I'm in a way, but on the other hand, I'm just like. Bro, get out there and get a girl, man. Go ahead and do it. Like if I looked like you when I was your age, I would have been devastating. I would have been devastating. Yeah. Do you hear me? Do you see what I'm working with? I was working with this and still killing it. I was still killing it. And look at what I'm working with. Coming from a Make-A-Wish standpoint. I'm the Make-A-Wish kid when it comes to...
Let's rewind, because I've been around Chuck at some events where the little hot MILFs they love them some Chuck. Ooh, they love Chuck better than a shrimp cocktail.
More than mimosas on a Sunday brunch.
Oh, more than bottomless margaritas. They love some Chuck, boy.
That's a lot.
More than a BOGO at Express. They love... They love some Chuck Nice.
Express. No,
but I want to, you know, one of the things that I think it's important is, so a lot of the fans will listen to this and you're saying you're happy he's not doing well with women, but you're still going like, because it's a distraction. And I would say opposite of that. I don't think it is a distraction. I think that we have to, your son, like, because, you know, my son is 4. And I want to cultivate all of those aspects at one. I think you could do that. You can.
Listen, I agree with you. It's just that, first of all, so for me, it was about personality. I realized very early in life that women were far more concerned with your personality than how you looked, or if you had money, because I didn't have money,
right?
And I, you know, I did always like nice clothes. I will tell you that much. And I will say this: if you're looking to attract women, having a sense of style. Now, I didn't say go out and spend a bunch of money on clothes.
Yeah.
But if you've got a sense of style that sets you apart in any way, that is always helpful. But what I found a lot of women liked was my personality. Mm. And so it made me very comfortable to go. And so Eddie Wiggins, I shouldn't use his real name. Cut that out. Don't use his real name. I had a friend in high school. And he was great with women. And I mean great. Mm-hmm. Just was... Oh, silver tongued.
We've all had that guy. Everybody has that guy.
That guy. I mean, silver tongued and so confident, and not only confident, but smooth and a hit rate like you couldn't believe.
Mm-hmm.
And
he said to me, he was like, yeah, man, your problem. He was like, girls like you. Your problem is you don't like you. That's what he said to me. He was like, girls like you.
And how old was he?
Oh, man, we were 15 at this point.
Yeah, boy. He was
15. Now, mind you, his
dangerous. That's a dangerous 15-year-old.
Yeah, he was dangerous too. You know what I mean? But he was like, "Girls like you. You don't like you." I was like, "Oh yeah. Shoot, what you talking about?" He was like, "Yeah, if you liked you, you would see yourself the way they see you, and it wouldn't mean nothing for you to walk up to them and do whatever. Yeah. And the ones that don't like you, you would just be like, well, you don't have to like me,
right?
You ain't gotta like me, okay? Yeah. You know, even though you do. All right, but anyway." And so what we used to do was go down to the mall on Saturday. We would get together around 10 o'clock. The mall opened at 11. And we would get together and we would go into the mall. And we would spend the whole day in the mall. And the goal was to just talk to, not catcall, not, hey, shorty, yo, shorty, let me holler at you, shorty. None of that.
Right.
Talk to. 50 women each. So we had 100 girls we had to get to by the
really?
End of the day. Yeah. 50 women each. Talk to. Go up, start a conversation. Say something about them. Compliment them in a genuine way. We did that for a few Saturdays, and then it just got to a point where I would go to the mall on Saturday and be like, I want to get me, you know, 5 or 6 numbers because it's time for me to, you know, expand my social circle. And, you know, and it was nothing to it. And what I realized is a lot of life is a numbers game. You know, not everybody is going to like you. Not everyone is made for you. Not everyone is compatible with you. And so if that is the case, the only way you can find that out is to get out there and find out. You know,
well, so here's the thing. When you say a numbers game, so it's like I think a lot of dudes are listening to this and they're going, oh, you shoot enough shots, you make enough shots eventually.
Not that kind of numbers.
But it's right. But I think that's what numbers game denotes. What it's a weird thing. So I have a plan that I put guys through, right?
Okay.
And what I do is guys who can't get laid or getting the caliber of women. It's funny you say that. It's lay the five bricks. I talk about it, but it's always peace. So I'll explain it. Is you are to go out and talk to 5 women a day, just pay a compliment, right? To 5 women a day. And it's not supposed to be specifically just women that you're attracted to. It's what you're talking about, which is older women, younger women, middle-aged, whatever. Because a lot of times I've been hollering at somebody, you know, like talking to my man's mom, and then she's like, well, bleep, 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 you mind a blowy on, you know what I'm saying? But
that
ain't no good.
Yeah.
Ain't no good.
That's why Dante wasn't allowed around on Mother's Day.
Exactly.
In his neighborhood.
You know, my sister would not let me around her friends. What happened?
I said, why is Dante at the Red Lobster with us? He's not a part of this family. Yeah. Why did Dante?
Why is Dante out with girls' night out?
Why are those mothers giving Dante's flowers on my...
Yeah.
but going out 5 and talking to 5 women, paying women compliments every day. First, there's a few requisites. Like you said, it's funny because you say that because this was a plan that I came up because it was a way to get past. Number one, the compliment cannot be sexual, okay, right?
Okay. Right.
Second of all, it needs to be honest.
Okay, like, good.
So she can have a middle eye in the middle of her head, and you can
but
be like,
wow. You know what? That's the eyeshadow on that third eye you got
it's amazing. That's amazing. Really cool, I've never seen
it. I love what you did there. You know?
Right. So it has to be honest.
I love the way you painted the thumbnail on that thumb coming out of the side. You got a thumb growing out your temple, but you know what? The color that you use for that nail polish. But go ahead.
That dolphin line that you got in the middle of your head.
It's delicious.
But doing that, the third thing is not to get a number. The first phase, you don't even ask for a number.
Right.
And okay. And what so one of the things I don't think that really guys really...
Why not? I mean, now listen, I don't know your plan.
Okay.
I'm interested to know why not. Now my purpose was to get a number. That's what I was trying to do. I mean, the other things that I said, it's so funny that they line up perfectly.
Right. With
It's
absolutely.
So funny that it lines up perfectly with what you're talking about. And but this is something that I found through trial and error.
Right.
And I was 15, well,
this is honed down to a science. Like I've never seen this. I've never had a guy who did consultations, DanteNumber.com, click on consult or hit Harry up at
AdviceFromHarry@gmail.com. Email me right there if you want a consultation.
No, but wait a minute. Take me back to why you don't get a number.
In the first phase, you don't get
a number. And by the way, I have been in a position where I have not gotten a number, and the best was struck up a conversation with a girl on the subway. We talked for like six stops. Had a great conversation. I was with another friend of mine, my buddy Ron, and got off my stop. Said, "Hey, nice talking to you." Right? Got off. She got off too.
Yeah.
Now we walking up the stairs. She walking up the stairs too. We walking down. Now we walking. We have 14th and 6th Avenue. We walking down 6th. We go to turn up 6th Avenue, but we're waiting for the light to turn. And she's standing at the light with me, and she's basically like, "What are you doing? Don't you see that I just got?" And it took me all that time to realize that she got off. That wasn't her stop.
Right.
Up out from underground and was waiting for me to ask her for her phone number, which, by the way, I did not.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Wow. But here's the reason why. So, and this is the thing that guys mistake. Guys think that because women have so much attention, I just heard this moron say this today, that women have so much attention, so they have so much practice socially, that's why they're so much better than men. Harry and I were laughing at this. This is another relationship guru, dude.
I don't get the premise of what he's saying, but go ahead. Women are better socially than men.
Yes, because they get more practice.
Yeah.
Because they're constantly getting attention.
Because they're getting hit on a lot.
Right.
But that doesn't make them good. They're not good. They just don't have to do any of it. They have the selection. There's no skill that's developed there that they're learning how to do. They just get to pick and choose because the way the relationship market is, the way we set it up, is it's a buyer's market for women.
Right. That's a great way to put it. Well, the other thing I always say is that men hunt women.
I was going to say, there you go.
Men hunt and women trap. What does that mean? That men actively pursue women in relationships and so on and so forth. But women, they set up the trap, they put the makeup on, they push the push-up bra, and they sit and wait, and they wait for you to walk into the trap. And then
that's kind of ominous, but yes, I get it.
But that's what it is. I mean, that's what it is. A lot of times we want it.
I was about to say, we want to be trapped.
But so does the fox.
Honestly,
that piece of meat in the top of the cage. You know what I mean? It's the after part that we may not agree with.
I was saying I don't even know if they put that much effort into it. It's almost like you said, shopping, because they just get to pick and choose and pick which one they want.
Women, guys are so willing. Women anguish over this the same way men do. Okay, it's just that certain of them got game, just like certain of us got game. Mm-hmm. Certain of them got game. There are some men that
you know what? I would even push back on that. They don't have no game.
That's too much.
They ain't got no game. I'm going to tell you why they don't have no game.
That's too much. You can't say that about all women that none of them got game. Some of them got game.
Even the ones that got game, it's rudimentary at best. And I'll tell you why it's rudimentary at best.
Go for it.
If you're playing wiffle ball, right, with 4-year-olds. You knocking the ball out the...
You're stupid.
You're not an extraordinary...
You can't run around.
Wait a minute. You're like, you're not Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
Because you beat some T-ball players at their game.
Exactly.
Right. That don't make you Aaron Judge. Okay.
You got a bunch of guys who are...
Get
who
up
are,
there and point to the fences.
Yeah. You
call your shot in the outfield. Like,
watch me kill this T-ball. I'm going to kill it.
Shit to the 4-year-olds. Watch this
shit. You understand what I'm saying?
But that's because that goes back to the first thing that you said about us being the pursuers. We are normally in pursuit, and that's why you can't really blame them for the fact that they don't have to.
They don't have to
develop in that sense. You know what I mean?
In no sense am I blaming them. I'm just stating the fact that
I'm not going to push back on what you just said.
And here's another thing. It's me always, you know, other people, they're familiar with their lizard. I sit him on my lap. Like, I cultivate him.
Come along, chub.
Like the old Chub Powers cat, you know?
I love you, chub.
He's really close. Him and I are really close. So what I mean by that is it's set up. I'm not arguing. I mean, I'm like, don't hate the player, hate the game. But don't even hate the game, because the game is anyway.
I say the game is the game. I'm not hating anybody. You know what I mean? It's
What are we ultimately talking about? So I think that is I think that's really the point. So they don't have. And if you have a chick, she has rudimentary game. She's taking dudes some money. It's because it's already
now, I'm gonna agree with, because there tends to be this this kind of mentality that women that understand men will use that power to basically do one thing, and that's take money from them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's resources. It's reproductive. Let's be honest. It's reproductive. Ability against resources, money and resources. I mean, that is the dynamic of how it exists. But look, rewind.
Go ahead.
Laying the five bricks.
Okay, I'm sorry. I took us off on a different
thing. We can cover that. We got time. We can cover it. So the reason why you don't go for the number is because one thing that women have amazing intuitive experience with, which I think is absolutely genetic, is that every time a woman goes out with a dude, she has to qualify that he will not kill her first, that he will not rape her and kill her. Like, that is on the table every time she talks to a guy. It may not be right in the front. Are you not aware of this, Chuck?
I don't think in those terms, because
you wouldn't think in those terms. That's my
exactly,
point.
Exactly, that's my point. I mean, like,
point is that why would you think in those terms when that's not your intention? But
I get what you're saying is that the amount of violence done to women is pretty significant. It's very significant.
No
argument.
The
amount of violence done to women is significant.
And I mean, on a wide scale, from out and out murder to rape
to
microaggressions
fuck you, bitch. Like, you know, I saw it just the other day. So I won't say what I saw the other day, but yes. Yeah, yeah. I see what you're saying. Like, consideration.
I speak in plain because I want people to understand it in a real way. And I would rather a guy understand that is. So when you're talking to a woman and you have, for instance, I'll give me a clear example. You're talking to a woman and you have not, you're a guy who is very erratic in their movement. Like, you know, a guy that's nervous energy and
stuff.
You
got a little tick. You got a little.
Yeah. But I mean, nervous
energy. You're on meth. Let's call it what it is. You're on meth. Okay.
I mean, I wish it was that easy. But the reality is, you get guys who just because here's the thing. There's a congruence between confidence, true confidence, understanding body language, vocal tones, tonality. There's a congruency in that. And I don't think that people understand that on a high level, that all of those things are consistent.
Right.
And so if a guy has nervous energy, might be the nicest guy in the world, but a woman will go, why is he moving around? Because it's his body language not being settled is a congruency that she could interpret it as being deceptive. And if he's being deceptive, deceptive is not safe, and safe is dangerous. Unsafe is dangerous. And I'm not saying she makes this cognitive understanding of what it is, but it happens that quick.
I understand what you're saying, is that there are a lot of subconscious tells that a man might put out there that a woman subconsciously is picking up on her under radar. You know what I mean? Her sonar. It's one thing to be on the radar. It's another thing to be on the sonar.
On the sonar as a whole. And it's like, it's also the Judge Judy effect. What I call the Judge Judy effect is the fact that you go on Judge Judy, she gets you caught. You get caught up in a little lie in the beginning of the court case. You lost the case.
Right.
Because you have no credibility. So up front, if you're in a relationship and your body language is questionable, you are out the game, because she's her not making that decision, her making a mistake about whether you are dangerous or not dangerous is life ending.
Well, you know, it's funny that you say that, because one of the most successful serial killers of all time was a very good-looking man by the name of Ted Bundy.
Yes.
And he was never nervous. He was extremely confident. And as a result, he engendered trust in women in such a way.
He slid right under the radar.
Sailed right under the radar with no problem.
Exactly.
You know, right up until... Why don't we take a ride in my van? And they were like, oh, you have a van?
How about this? When you talk to women about Ted Bundy, even today, I've heard women talk about, oh, he's so smooth. He's handsome. They talk
while they're
about
watching
it
the documentary.
Yes.
Like, I know how this ends.
I've heard that. I have heard, because it goes underneath the radar, like you saw, the sonar, on a level that they don't, it's undetectable. So you have guys who are presenting themselves as unsafe or undecided, and that
undecisive, that, yeah,
indecisive, even better. So my point is, so what the first thing you have to learn, so there's a skill set. A lot of times we learn the skill set. If you get good at talking to women, it's through practice, but it's a trial and error. But a lot of people don't really understand the principle. What's interesting is that you're great at it. You're welcoming, you're smooth. I've seen you work. I mean, even when your intention is not just your, when it's producers, I've seen you work, and the way that you make them feel safe and comfortable. And so, but not doing that is works the other way. It's to your detriment. And if you don't
understand, I hear you.
If you don't understand that that's communicating that, then you wonder why you don't, you know, why you 40 years old and you ain't been laid, because it's, you've just never learned these techniques. So the first thing that you learn is the first phase of what I teach guys is not to ask for the number, to just have the conversation for the sake of the conversation, because when women are amazingly intuitive. It's funny because I shit on women's inability to have game, but I also, their instinct to understand when a social situation is transactional. They understand that better than anybody else. And if it is transactional, they know it. Now,
let me just say this. Let me just a quick aside here. If Chuck Nice is talking to you, I want some pussy.
just assume.
Just letting you know.
How about this? If I'm talking to you, I might not want no pussy. I haven't even decided whether you're worthy of it.
And this is what I was about to say, is the truth is, here's what most guys don't get right, okay? Wait on wanting anything. Just wait on that. Because whatever it is, now listen, don't get me wrong. We all know that there are some women that are extremely attractive. You look at them, and of course, there's going to be what I call the biological reaction of a man.
Sure, sure.
There's a biological reaction that we have, and that sure. is, man, wouldn't it be nice? It'd be nice. Okay. But if you let that become your driving factor, you are in some serious trouble. Because
sure, sure.
first of all, it may not even be worth the issue. It may not even be worth.
And usually it's not.
Exactly.
It usually.
So what you should do is, and I've said this, like, you know, what you should do is always approach it from what I want for me, not what I want from you. But what I want for me.
Put okay. yourself first. If you don't, nobody else will.
Oh, wow. Okay. Is that the rule? Is that your...
I mean, yeah, that's... I mean, what you... So what's interesting is that you are in line. Like, I always say...
Oh, we're saying the same thing all the time.
Yeah, we're always in line, but I've crystallized it in a way because I got to teach it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You know, right.
You know, listen.
It's just the way it just moves
the way
it is,
the way I am. It's never about, you know, it's always what you want for yourself, not what you want from somebody. Always think of, but the way you said it, put yourself first. There you go.
Right. I there's another relationship guru. He be like, a lot of them bitches, tell them what you want. You trying to get some, and I'm like, Doug, you don't even get that. Yes, that. That is I use this term all the time. You're shoplifting the pussy. You know, you're in the Bentley store. You're in the Bentley store shopping, and you ain't got but 5 racks. Like, you don't deserve to be in here. No, you can't have a test drive. No, you ain't never gonna have this. Like, stop it. But not only that, you know you're not supposed to be in there. So you're willing to do whatever you gotta do instead of being worthy enough, walking in there with 200, 300 in a duffel bag and be like, yo, wow, we're done already. Okay. This is it. So, I mean, so let me get back. I keep getting off this. It not being transactional is important because you as a man, you very rarely have the ability to fool the genetic entity that's in her to understand how she has to navigate not being murdered or raped. Or, like, this is genetically involved. This is 200,000 years of women learning how to navigate around situations that could potentially be dangerous. So if you might be nice enough, I mean, there's always dudes that are nice enough to fool you, but they're gonna fool you some of the times, but not all of the time. Whereas if you just learn to speak without it being transactional, right? There's no tell. There's no poker tell because there's nothing to tell. Do you know what I'm saying? You're not even playing cards. You're sincerely and generally in this conversation, having this conversation with not the intention. I'm not saying you can't make a decision later. Well, in the first phase, I remove the fact you are not supposed to get a number. And the reason why you're not supposed to get a number is because there's no... A young dude who's trying to learn his techniques can't have the even in the back of his mind, the objective to get the number makes this social engagement. It makes the social engagement.
It creates a lot more stakes and a lot more fear. It makes it a
right,
lot more.
The
yeah.
stakes. Perfect, Kyrie. The stakes. You raise the stakes. And so because you raise the stakes, now you bring nervousness and anxiety in the situation. And anxiety and nervousness can be read as indecisiveness, conniving, this, that, and the other, which makes you dangerous. Whereas when there's a pureness in terms of the conversation that you're having, she can see that pure. That's why that chick jumped off the train and followed you, because not only was your intention not that, not were you using it as a technique, but you still didn't get the number when she got off.
Because I really wasn't even aware that that's what she was doing. But when it became aware to me, I was like, oh my God, I was flattered. I got to be honest. I was really
right.
flattered.
But
that wasn't what I was about, even though, and by the way, she was an attractive woman and she was right. very fun to talk to, but I just wasn't about that. And so, I love the idea of the whole transactional, like, you know, learning how to deny transactionability so that you can, you know, get to what it's really about. And
because once you've done that for like five a day, I do five a day every day for 8 weeks. That's the so that ends up being in 1 day it becomes 35. In 1 week it's 35 women. In 8 weeks is 8 times 35 is 8 times 3 is 20, like something like 260 women in the course of 8 weeks. I know pimps that don't talk to 260 women in 8 weeks. Do you know what I mean? And these are trained professionals. So,
what do you mean trained? They went to pimp school.
I mean, they got some schooling.
They went to pimp you.
I didn't think it was an accredited university.
Go to Pimp U.
Pimp U. And the U is spelled Y-O-U.
Yeah, Pimp
U. Well,
I went to Pimp U.
I went to Pimp U, baby.
No, it's a finger. It's just a finger that goes,
Pimp U, baby.
Like Uncle Sam wants you, only you got a purple hat on.
Exactly. And a walking stick.
I had this argument with Dumb Keith about how I said to him that women turn pimps out. Pimps, the initial pimp is turned out by the hoe, not by the pimp. Like nobody wakes up and goes, I want to be a pimp. They may, but those are guys who are not the pimps. The pimps are the guys that the women go, yo, I would sell my pussy for you. And you have that magnetism that makes her go, I would do that for you. And then you really?
And you like, I'm still working on that magnetism.
Oh, you got it. You just don't use your powers for evil, that's all. But you definitely, absolutely. Absolutely. You'd be surprised what you So you're so lucky that you didn't hang out with me. In my youthful days.
I believe me, I am, because we would have been damaging.
Oh, it was ugly. I mean,
it would have been damaging. That you know. I feel sorry for these young dudes out here now sometimes, because they seem to I've had conversations with young dudes, and you know, they talk about how, you know, things have changed. And I say,
no, it hasn't.
I say, you can't tell me that we're a species that's been for the last, you know,
300,000 years.
We've been doing this between female and male. We've been doing this for the last almost 300,000 years.
Yeah.
And you're going to tell me that just because of social media and Harvey Weinstein, that all that shit is out the window? Yeah. I don't believe you. I can't. Yeah. I'm sorry. You're wrong. And when I have girls after a show down in the village who are, and I'm an old man as far as I'm concerned, and they're looking at me like, what are you doing? Like, what are you up to? What's up? And then they say, none of these dudes will talk to you down here.
Yeah, right.
And that's where they're coming from. They're aggressive because they're like, none of these dudes will talk to you.
I would argue that it's better now than ever, because dudes is cornballs and punks and simps, and as much as they don't mind taking a simp's money, You not. I mean, you might get a pity fuck. You might if it. But you're not gonna get the box where you with some dude who she doesn't think that's better than her. A woman never dates a dude that's better than her. Now let me be clear. I'd say to some people get all crazy, especially women. Better is a relative term. She decides what is better. Do you know what I mean? She decides. So when you see a chick and she's with some gangster, socially, we might not see him like she's a college student and he's a gangster. But to her, she sees the excitement of his life and what he does and that he don't give a fuck. And in her mind, that's better for her, even though it may not be societally better. Let's plug this. Put it and then go to the Patreon real quick. What you got? I know you got your thing going on.
Hey, listen, November 17th to 18th, I'm taping at the Midnight Theater in Hudson Yards, my comedy special called Chuck Nice Just Smart Enough. So everybody go to ChuckNiceComic.com and get some tickets so I can have
talking about funny dude. You will not be disappointed. One of the New York killers, the assassins in the game. So check that out. Harry, talk.
You can go to all my social media at Harry Turjanian, and also check out all my stuff on TikTok, YouTube, and also I do relationship consultations. If you need a relationship consultation, email me at advicefromharry@gmail.com. Otherwise, if you love the show, come and support us over at patreon.com/manschool202. That's where we're doing all the bonus content, like the bonus content we're about to do now with Chuck Nice. And we're uploading all the old episodes of Man School 202 back when we were the Beige Phillips Show. All of that is on patreon.com/manschool202.
Y'all know how to get me, DanteNero.com. Click on consult. You can rap with me directly. All my social media and everything will be down in the comments. Check that out. GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The sexual revolutions being podcasted. I love y'all, man. Thanks for supporting us. See you on the Patreon side. Peace.
I'm not an alpha male. I'm not a beta male either. I'm just a better man.
Better man.
Well, put your happiness first, because if you don't, they won't.
How powerful is Cox Internet? Powerful enough to let your band members in Vegas, Phoenix, and Rhode Island jam like you're all in the same garage. Get gig speeds powered by fiber from Cox. It's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, always building better. Download speeds up to 1 gigabit per second. Cox Internet is connected to the premises via coaxial connection. Speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms and other restrictions may apply.